Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Father, we bow in your presence on today, thanking you for who you are. You are God all by yourself, and you hold our lives in the palms of your hands. You have a plan and a purpose for us. And God, we right now submit to you, to the plan, to the purpose that you have ordained for our lives. And we commit to moving forward in faith in order to accomplish all that you have purposed for us. This is our heart's cry, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have God ever told you to do something and you argued with the Lord? Has he ever revealed something to you and you protested because it seemed like it was more than you could handle, or something you simply did not want to do? Well, then you can identify with Moses. That's exactly where he was. He had been summoned to Mount Sinai, the mountain of revelation, and God was giving him the plan and purpose for his life, outlining in great detail exactly what God had for him to do. The only thing that Moses could do was protest and complain and make stupid excuses for why, according to his own limited thinking, he was unable or inadequate to carry out the assignment. My, oh my. So this is how the story goes. God called to Moses from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. And here's the revelation. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Let me pause here a moment to say, God hears your cry. He hears your cry. So he says to Moses, yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians. I have come down. I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Look. The cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. So what do we have? At 80 years of age, Moses gets his assignment, and it's a big one. He is to be the deliverer of his people, the Israelites. So, in spite of being in the holy presence of God, in spite of hearing the audible voice of God speaking to him, letting him know of the grand plan for his life, and yet Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? Understand that Moses lived in the palace and he was next in line to be the Pharaoh. So he spoke with the Pharaoh all the time when he was in Egypt. Of course, it was a different Pharaoh at that time. But what is Moses saying? How do you mean, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? You were in the palace. And then he says, who am I? So now he's looking at himself. Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? But God's simple answer to Moses and to you and to me is this: I will be with you. And this is your sign that I am the one who has sent you, oh my. When you have brought the people of Egypt people out of Egypt, you will worship me at this very mountain. In other words, this mountain of revelation would become the mountain of confirmation when God performed through Moses everything exactly as he said he would do. And yet Moses protested a second time. If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied, I am who I am. Oh, I love it. I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. Oh, he is saying, I am the God of the past. I am the God of the present. And I am the God of your future. I am. God said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the covenant keeping God of your ancestors, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, Yahweh, my name to remember for all generations. Now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I have been watching closely, and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I have promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. God has promised to rescue you from the place where you are in now, that you find yourself. He will rescue you. It is his promise. I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But, and this is God telling him how the king, Pharaoh, is going to respond. The king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. So I will raise my mighty hand and strike the Egyptians, performing all kinds of miracles among them. And then at last, he will let you go. You see how specific God is with his instructions, telling him the minute details. Verse 21, and I will cause the Egyptians to look favorably on you. They will give you gifts when you go, so you will not leave empty-handed. Every Israelite woman will ask for articles of silver and gold and fine clothing from her Egyptian neighbors and from the foreign women in their houses. You will dress your sons and daughters with these, stripping the Egyptians of their wealth. My, oh my. You see, God explains how his people will get retroactive pay for 430 years of forced labor. They will simply ask the Egyptians for all their gold, all their silver, all their jewelry. And God said they would give it to them in such quantities and abundance that they would literally spoil the Egyptians as if they had defeated them in battle and taken all their wealth. My, oh my, that's nothing but God. Has God ever provided for you in ways that were beyond your understanding? Has he ever done things in such a way that there is no doubt in your mind or in anyone else's mind that it was God who orchestrated your situation? Oh, yes, that's what God is telling Moses he is going to do. He is going to orchestrate the entire thing. But Moses sings his same old song with the same old line and offers even more protests. What if they don't believe me or listen to me? God just told you they're going to believe you and go with you to the king. What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord said, what is it in your hand? A shepherd's staff. Throw it down to the ground. So Moses threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. Now, you're not supposed to grab a snake by its tail because it can just swing around and bite you. But Moses did what the Lord said. He reached out and grabbed it and it turned back into a shepherd's staff. Perform this sign, then they will believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, really has appeared to you. So God gave him a second sign. Then the Lord said to Moses, now put your hand inside your cloak. So he put his hand inside his cloak, and when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease that we know as leprosy. Now put your hand back into your cloak. So Moses put his hand back in, and when he took it out again, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. Then the Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you and are not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second sign. And if they don't believe you or listen to you, even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River, pour it out on the dry ground. When you do, the water from the Nile will turn to blood on the ground. You see what's going on? God gave Moses three different signs to show his power and his presence with Moses. You know, even Gideon, you remember when he put out the fleece, even Gideon only asked for two signs, and then he went with confidence to fight the enemy. But not Moses. He pleaded with the Lord. Oh, Lord, I'm not very good with words. See, Moses figured out that the stuff he was telling God wasn't working. So now he comes with a different strategy. I never have been, and I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied and my words get tangled up. Oh, Moses, excuses, excuses, excuses. Then the Lord asked Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Oh, my. Who decides whether people speak or do not speak? Hear or do not hear? See or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. And God repeats those famous five words. I will be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. Well, it's no surprise when we hear that the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said. What about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he speaks well. And look, he is on his way to meet you now. Did you see that? God had Aaron even before all of this on his way to meet Moses. He will be delighted to see you. Talk to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with both of you as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. And take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. So basically what God is saying is that God is still going to speak to Moses. Moses cannot get away from that. But then he can use his brother Aaron as an intermediary, speak to Aaron what God just told him, and then Aaron would be the one who would speak the words before the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt. So what we notice is that God accommodated Moses. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He allowed him to use his brother as an intermediary. But notice, God did not change the plan for Moses. And so Moses finally went forward to his destiny with the Lord and with his brother Aaron at his side. Listen, because you might be afraid or scared of what it is God is calling you to do, what he's speaking to your heart, God isn't going to change because of that. Mm-mm. No, he isn't. So our call to action today is the same as yesterday. Believe what God has revealed to you. Yes, it might be big, it might be grand, it might be more than what you think you are able, but guess what? God is the one who called you, and God is more than able to perform through you all that he is calling you to do. So believe and receive all that God has for you. And when you do, you will have a wonder of a Wednesday. Peace and blessing rest upon you. Shalom.